Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our reading of the 26th juz of the Quran, where we're going to be looking at Surah Al-Ahqaf. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah with the huruf muqatta'at, Hameem, Tanzeelul Kitab min Allah al-Aziz al-Hakim. And then he begins speaking about the power of himself. Jalla fil ulama khalaqna samawati wa radu wa ma baynahuma illa bilhaq. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create the heavens and the earth except everything was done in the right way. Everything was done with purpose. Everything was done for a reason. وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى And it has its time. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ And the disbelievers are turning away from all of these warnings and signs that are presented to them. And so this is a very Makki surah. You see in the surah this clear challenge to the mushrikeen, to the polytheists of Mecca. And so that starts quite early on. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ That these things that you worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min dunillah, dun indicates inferiority. These contingent, useless objects, these stones and rocks that you worship, aruni mada khalaqu min al-ard, show me what they have created from the earth. Am lahum shirkun fis samawat, or is it these are partners in the heavens? Ituni bi kitabi min qabli hadha aw atharatin min ilmin in kuntum sadiqin. So bring me all of this proof that you have of the veracity of these false claimants to Godhead. And these are not even claimants, because if you remember, this idea is that they have created these gods. These are gods of the imagination, gods of the human psyche, presented in order to do various different things. One is just gods that don't tell you to do anything, so you don't actually have to do any worship, and they have no demands of you. But also gods that you can use to manipulate others, gods that you can use to manipulate other creation, other human beings. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how incredibly misguided these people are, that they call on these people, they have no response to them, and they won't be able to respond to them until the Day of Judgment, and all of their supplications they make will be completely ignored. وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسِ And then when the gathering happens of the people, they will become enemies to them, and they will deny their worship as if they never did it in the first place. So this there's no loyalty to these beings as well. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought and how they reject these signs. They say, هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ And then they say, you know, you made all of this up. So this now there's an attack on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he brings this beautiful response, and it's a beautiful verse. قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ Say, O Muhammad, I'm not the first of the prophets. I'm not an innovator among the prophets. It wasn't like there were no prophets and suddenly the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. It's very intriguing. It's this idea that I am the final prophet in a line of prophets, and al-muqaffa. I'm gathering all that the other prophets brought, and I'm culminating it. And this is intriguing, because then what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, then investigate the nature of prophethood. Look to the other traditions and what they claim of their prophets, and see whether I stack up to that. What do the Jews say about their prophets? What is the demand made of their prophets? What is the moral excellence of their prophets? What do the Christians say about prophets? What do all of these different forms of religion have to say about prophets? And apart from obviously some of them say very nasty things, or maybe I think they don't, because the Jews I think don't consider certain figures that we consider to be prophets, so then they cast these very disgusting sinful aspersions on them, a'udhu billah. But nevertheless, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told, and he said, وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ I don't know what will happen to me or to you. إِنَ اتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ I just follow the revelation. وَمَا أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ And I am just a clear warner. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this. This is a very beautiful message, and this is a message that will come back again and again throughout the Quran and in the surah as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks about, you know, the disbelievers say that if this had been a good thing, religion, then we would have been the first to do it. But then how come these people beat us to it? These weak and poor and impoverished. And then if they don't accept it, they reject the revelation. They say this is just a lie. This is an ancient lie. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Prophet, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and about how the Quran is just an affirmer of what Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam brought. And then it carries on. And then it says this very lovely verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا Those that say our Lord is Allah, then they stay firm. They hold on to that with firmness. They stay steadfast upon that message. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ There is no fear for them and no any anxiety. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ These are the people of paradise. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا Therein forever. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ As a reward for what they did. And so this is a description of people of faith. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some ordinances that we ordained that you be good to your parents. That you should wasayna al-insana bi walidayhi ihsana. We ask the human being to be good to his parents. And then it talks about how the mother bore him and carried him and conceived him and then gave birth to him. And all of this happens, and then حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة. It talks about the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, that he eventually reaches this age of maturity. And this is the dua he should make. قال ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والي ونعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. A dua of gratitude upon him and upon his parents, and to do good actions that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he asks that my parents, everybody, وأصلح لي في ذريتي, and reform and make excellent or make good for me my progeny. I turn to you entirely and I am from the believers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about certain people. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَتَقَبَّلُ عَنْ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about that we accept that these people who are good to their parents and who have remained firm and said we believe in Allah and made these du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we accept all of their good actions and we deny, we remove from them all of their evil in the garden of paradise. This is a promise. And then there are those people that say to their, وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ, they said to their parents, أُفِلْ لَكُمَا, are you saying that we're going to be resurrected from our graves? And all of these nations that have preceded us, this disobedient, this ungrateful child whose parents are trying to guide him to the truth, and he's denying all of this. And then they are seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're saying, you have to believe my son. Which is, this is like intriguing. It's like a scene from the modern age right now where parents who send their, you know, it's not even if you send your children to certain schools, you just don't know where they're going to be indoctrinated, who's going to capture them, where are they going to be duped. But nevertheless, we have now children who are struggling with faith, struggling with their belief in Islam, and these parents are trying to present these cases. They're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. They're saying, you have to believe. And then all the child is saying, فَيَقُولُ مَا هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. It's all fables. This is all superstition. This is nonsense. How can I believe in this? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are people, surely they're losers. And everybody will get the ranks of what they believed, what they did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give everybody their right due. And then it talks about the punishment that will be presented to certain people on the Day of Judgment. And then it brings us to the people of the Ahqaf, the people of the sand dunes, the naming of the surah, which is the people of Sayyidina Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, Aad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them. The Wadkur Akha Aad, remember the brother of Aad, remember the people of Aad basically, when he warned his people, Wadkur Akha Aad, remember the brother of Aad, here being Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, when he warned his people with the Ahqaf, in the Ahqaf, in the sand dunes, and that to worship none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they become very incensed. Are you coming here? Are you coming to try to divert us from our gods? Then bring us the punishment. And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the wind comes, they get excited because they think this is a good sign. The clouds that they're bringing rain, and ultimately these are the clouds. تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. Everything was destroyed by the permission of their Lord. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. They woke up, they saw nothing except their houses. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And this is what, nothing was seen, sorry, apart from the houses, because there was nobody to see. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. This is how we reward those who do evil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing to an end the surah, that he gives certain power, people, authority upon the earth, and then he gives them the senses. And ultimately they fail to use these senses and they use them instead. إِذْ كَانُوا يَجْحَدُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. They deny everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so everything for them is going to be complete and utter destruction. And then finally, just coming to an end to this surah, وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا مَا حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْقُرَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people who are destroyed. And then there's this interesting passage, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Then a group of jinn came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and heard the Quran. And I think you can still go and visit Masjid al-Jinn where this happened. فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ, when they came, قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا, they're saying, everybody be quiet, listen to this. فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ, when the recitation finished, وَلَّوا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنْظِرِينَ, they came back to their people and began to warn them. قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا, we heard a book today, أُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى, revealed after Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, affirming everything that has preceded it, يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ, calling to the truth, وَإِلَى طَرِيقِ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, to the straight path. يَا قَوْمَنَا أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ, O our people, accept the caller of Allah and believe in him, your sins will be forgiven and you'll be protected from a heinous punishment. And ultimately, if you don't follow, ulaika fi dhalalin mubin, whosoever rejects this will be misguided, in complete and utter misguidance. This is very intriguing. This the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meeting the jinn, reciting the Quran to them, and look at what an incredible effect it had on their hearts. They heard the Quran, and they came running to their people. Now we have to warn our people, and they present this incredibly poignant, eloquent warning to their people of what's happening. And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, right at the end, speaks to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ عُلُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, be patient like the great prophets were patient. وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ مَا يُعَدُونَ لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً مِنْ نَهَارٍ, talks about the nature of the punishment. And ultimately, فَهُلْ يُهْلَكُ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, only those misguided transgressors will be punished on that day. So it's a very Meccan surah, themes of Mecca, themes of jinns and polytheists and shirk and all of these things. Next, our next surah is surah Muhammad, okay, named after the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it starts with this idea that you have believers and disbelievers. It's very Madani. Medina, the battle lines are clear, the battle lines have to be drawn. It's no longer a matter of just come, come, come. It's like we are this and you are that. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَضَلَّ عَمَالَهُمْ, there are the disbelievers who divert from the path of Allah. All of their actions are misguided. And then there are those who believe, and they believe in that which has been revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Quran, very rarely does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to the about or to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by virtue of his name. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir, ya ayyuhal nabi, qul 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 qul, it's just qul, you say, it doesn't call on him. Ya ayyuhal rasul, whereas here you can see all refers about him. Ar-Rauf, Rauf, Rahim, various names given to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here though, the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is used for very powerful effect. About the guidance, about the Quran being revealed upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it talks about how the disbelievers, their reaction to the revelation, that they don't follow it, and then it moves on about war, and this is how war should be done, and it gives these incredible rules of war. It lays them out. فَإِذَا لَقِيتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَضَرْبَ الرِّقَابِ, if you meet the disbelievers, then you have these choices of things that you can do. Whosoever is killed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his actions are not lost. They will enter the garden of paradise. Then it has this beautiful verse that I think people really now should take as a form of guidance. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in tansuru Allah yansurkum. O you who believe, if you give Allah victory, Allah will give you victory. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. Meaning if you help the religion of Allah, Allah will help you. I've seen many, many times in my life, people who are in utter, complete and utter service to the people of Allah, to the religion of Allah, to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them. Their families and everybody is just under this state of protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And then they're told, وَيْثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, and your feet will be made firm. And the disbelievers, everything for them will just be disarray, just completely misguided, completely all over the place. فَأَحْبَطَ عَمَالَهُمْ, all of their actions will just be they'll just be wiped out completely. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the garden of paradise. Allah will enter the believers into this garden, all that they're going to have in them. And then it says, and it said it in the previous surah too, that for the disbelievers, they've had their tamattu', they've eaten their fill already. So there's no food for them in the garden of paradise. You had it here, you took care of all of that here. And how many nations have we destroyed that were stronger than these nations? It talks about the nature of these people who deny. Then it speaks about the garden again, the garden that has been promised, and it has all of these rivers of milk and wine. And obviously this is a non-intoxicating wine and pure honey and all of this fruit and forgiveness. And the other side, you have these people who are drinking this boiling, boiling, piercing water that's destroying their intestines completely. And then there are people who reject the revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them. And then there's this beautiful verse, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, that many of the Sufis would utilize in their dhikr. Know that there is only no, truly no. Come to know that there is no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek forgiveness for your sins and the sins of the believers and the believing men and the believing women. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your everything about you, where you're going and what you're doing and your final abode. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about certain people, about the hypocrites, about their denial of the fighting, about how they come and they try to cause disruption, how they break family ties, And how they are ultimately cursed people. Then there's a beautiful verse of فَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not ponder over the Quran, or are there locks on their hearts? That the only way you don't ponder over the Quran is if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed locked on your hearts, locks on your hearts. Just moving very quickly. Again, about people who turn on their backs, the hypocrites and other such people, about people who have diseases in their hearts. That وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, when we surely test you, until we know the mujahideen, the strugglers and the patient from among you, and all of your affairs are known. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the denies of the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is, I've been thinking about this, but hypocrisy in Islam is denial of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what hypocrisy really is. And that's why the Jews are the great hypocrites as well. Okay, because of the denial of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it says here, there are those people that disbelieve and they turn people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they move away, they cut off from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the truth has been revealed to them. They will not harm Allah in the slightest. Soon all of their actions will be in vain. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, obey Allah, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Prophet, and don't invalidate your actions. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nature of the dunya, about the stinginess of certain people, and that sort of brings an end to the surah. But the very prominent theme is, what is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the centrality of the Messenger of God sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a lot of the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being tied to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we have Surah Al-Fath. Surah Al-Fath talks about the victory. The victory in this case is talking about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where the Muslims, in a seemingly in on the back foot, concede to all of these demands that the mushrikeen are making after the failure of Ahzab. And a lot of Muslims are in shock because they see, this is, why is this decision being taken? And ultimately, the point that we're really trying to emphasize here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that sometimes you see something as a setback, but it's ultimately the great victory. And look how emphatic Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about the victory. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. That we have opened up for you a great and a very clear victory. It's such an open victory. How can people not see this obvious victory? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is assisted, and all of this sakina is entered, and iman is increased, and Allah has all of these armies, and all of the believers are going to be entered into the garden. And this is the ultimate victory, and the munafiqeen will be punished for all that they did. We sent you as a witness and a giver of glad tidings and a warner, all of these things. And then it talks about the people of the bay'ah, who gave the oath of allegiance under the tree, bay'atul ridwan, when they thought that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu had been kidnapped or killed by the mushrikeen. They take this bay'ah on his behalf, that they would fight on his behalf until the last man. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his own hand in again and said, this is on behalf of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Talks about certain people from the Bedouins who don't go and fight, who stay behind. They say, our families are at risk, we have to go home. And they say things in their tongues that are not in their hearts. And they think that everybody's going to lose. And they have this dhanna soul. They have this bad opinion of everybody. They think everything's doomed. They're so despondent and have so much despair. But ultimately, victory is just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they're told, those who stay back from the Bedouins, they said that they're told, you'll be soon called to fight a people very powerful. You will fight them, or they accept Islam. And if you obey this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a very powerful reward. And if you turn back, as you've turned back before, then you'll be punished severely. And I think some ulama mentioned that this is in reference to the wars of Ridda and the wars of, not just the wars of Ridda, the wars of conquest, where the Bedouins would play an incredible role. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu brings them into the army, they are one of the reasons the Muslims have so much success. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the bay'ah under the tree all over again. Moving forward. And then the promises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made to the believers about all of the reward and the booty that they're going to gain. And these are the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it talks about this nature of the hajj, that the Muslims wanted to make the hajj and these disbelievers stopped them from making the hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that the hajj will take place, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enter Mecca, he will do the Umratul Qadha, he will make the hajj with his beloved companions. And so right at the end of the surah, there's a lot of mention of this about the people of Kufr and the Jahiliyyah and all of these things, but ultimately that Mecca will become Muslim once again. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ رُؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ, that this dream of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always ordained to come true, that he will enter the Garden of Paradise shaved heads and doing muqassirin, maybe not shaved completely, and this is the victory. That's how you know the culmination. The Hudaybiyah is the victory, but this is the culmination of the great victory. He sent the Prophet with the guidance and the true religion so that it could overcome all other religions, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices as a witness. And then there's a description of the Sahaba, and then we move to our next surah, Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah Al-Hujurat is a surah just completely about etiquette, social etiquette, and etiquette with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it talks about don't put yourself forward before Allah and His Prophet, don't raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet, don't speak to him the way you speak to everybody else, because you need to know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just like you. He is a very different person. He's a different being. He's the reason for creation. And then you have to lower your voice. And many Sahaba, when they heard the first verse about not raising their voice, they lowered their voice so much that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would struggle to hear them. And then there's that call you from behind the rooms. The Hujurat is the rooms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe I think this is a reference to the Banu Tamim who came and started making a lot of noise. And then it says that if somebody comes to you with news, you have to ascertain this news. You don't believe people just willy-nilly. Somebody sends something. Like there was a tweet going around with some brother. He hadn't even, you know, there was, I don't know, I saw the apology video where he says people are sharing this video of me, and this was from 2 years ago, and I made Tawbah. But people don't check these things. They just start sharing things. You don't know. Maybe the person you're tweeting about has made Tawbah. Maybe they didn't really do what you thought they did. Maybe you've misunderstood the situation, which happens to a lot of prominent people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, know that among you is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ultimately you have to give him victory and you have to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there's guidance. If the Muslims fall into disrepute, if they begin to fight between one another, then how is it that they should be united? And ultimately, the guidance is, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, the believers are about blood brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ, bring your brothers together. And fear Allah so that you may have mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon you. Then it moves back to this guidance of etiquette. Don't say certain things about people, don't have bad opinions of people, don't spy on people, don't backbite people, because backbiting people, one of the great heinous, most heinous sins, especially in the month of Ramadan. We know many narrations where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about how the tongue, it's really tested in the month of Ramadan, and we have to be strong in that test. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everybody from man and woman, and there's only two genders. And then it speaks about the fickle nature of the belief of the Bedouins, and ultimately the power, the immense belief of the believers, and then ultimately it finishes with this proclamation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of all things. Okay, we're doing like a whistle stop tour. This is quite a whirlwind. Next, Surah Qaf. Okay, Surah Qaf is a beautiful surah. Say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sometimes just climb onto the minbar for Jumu'ah and recite Surah Qaf and then just sit down, and that was the khutbah. So here it starts Qaf wal Quran al Majid. It starts with the letter Qaf, and it gives this starts with the noble nature of the Quran, and it's a Makki surah, and it's going to be just non-stop polytheism and Day of Resurrection, the Day of Judgment, and Jannah and Jahannam, and all of these things are just going to be covered in a very powerful way. It's a very powerful surah Qaf, and it really does magical things metaphorically to your iman. And so maybe it talks about the rejection. I'll just quickly, they reject the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't understand what he's come with. They deny the resurrection completely. But they do they not see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created? Look at the power of Allah. Look at the heavens. Look at the earth. Look at what everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done. Look at the mountains. Look at all the fruits and the agriculture. Tabsira. Look at it deeply. Like really ponder. This is tabsira. It's like when you look into the reality of affairs. With dhikra, and it's all guidance. And it's all reminders for one, لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ مُنِيبٍ, the slave who keeps coming back, the slave who turns to nature to find God, one of the interpretations the ulama gave. I did tafsir of Surah Qaf last year in Ramadan, so this surah is good. And then the revelation of the water, because water is like revelation. You have to see, there's a lot of Sheikh, Suhail Hanif has a good tafsir called Verses on the Verdure or something. I don't know, it's a very posh word, mashallah. But anyways, he has a tafsir, and then he talks about the verses related to water and other such things. And then it talks about the date palm trees and all of these gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people of the Arabia. And then it says about the prophet, the people who rejected before, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end, he destroyed all of them. And there'll be, and then the resurrection, that we were not tired out by the first creation, we're going to come back and do the second. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how he knows, he's the creator of the human being, he knows everything, he knows what he whispers to himself, he's closer to him than his jugular vein. Everything he says is being written. And when, and then when the death comes, when the pains of death come, then this is what you try to escape from. There's no escape. On that day, everybody's going to be driven where they need to go. You didn't believe it. You were in complete and utter heedlessness, completely unaware. Now the veils have been removed. Now you can see clearly. It's too late, maybe. Maybe it's not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What is the nature of these people who deny the day of judgment? They don't give charity. They transgress everything. They're in complete and utter shock and anxiety and doubt. They make other gods other than Allah Jalla fil Ula, and they'll be placed into the fire of hell. And then the Qareen will talk, the devil will say, it wasn't my fault, it was his. He needs to take care and take responsibility for his own actions. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Jahannam, about they'll be entered into Jahannam, and then Jahannam on that day will be full, and then it will say, Hal min mazid. I want more, I want to consume more, I want to punish more. And then the garden of paradise that is promised to the believers, and then what rewards that they're going to get there. And then coming to an end in this surah, the creations of the heavens and the earth. And then some guidance, just fasbir ala ma yaqulun, have patience upon what they say, because they say things. And just make tasbih and praise your Lord at these various times and at night, and make the sajda. And listen very carefully to the day when the caller will call from a close place, the day of judgment, when it will come. ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُرُوجِ, before it says خُرُوجِ as well. This is the day of resurrection. And we bring everything back, and everything will be so easy for us. And we know everything that they say, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not coercing anybody. So remind them with the Qur'an. But who are you? Who can you remind? Those that fear the warning. Because if you don't fear the warning, then the Qur'an is no use for you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts Surah Dhariyat. It speaks about these promises made by different forms of wind, that the religion is ultimately true. And then the rejection that some people have of this religion about the Day of Judgment. وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعَ, is that the Day of Judgment is true. And then they ask about the Day of Judgment, and so they'll be able to taste the punishment that is waiting for them on the Day of Judgment. But then there are certain people, the people of excellence. They sleep very less in the light, in the night, and they're just making istighfar at the time of sihr, suhoor, sahar even, and they give charity, and all of these are signs, and they have to ponder over these signs. And then right at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the story, or speaks very briefly of the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when the guests came, and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam brought them food, but they didn't eat, and the reason they don't eat, obviously, is because these were angels. And then they promised Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that he was going to have a child, and that's where the juz finishes. So just a whistle stop tour. We haven't put lessons because there's so much, but it's very mucky. You can see resurrection and blessings and rejection and polytheism and shirk and taking gods other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the inevitability of the judgment, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very much a belief-based juz, apart from obviously Surah Muhammad and maybe Surah Fath, both are Madani surahs. And this is our zooming in verse for today. It's a quite long verse, but we'll just go through it briefly. It's the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those of with him, those the companions. And so it's an incredible description of the culture of Medina. So when you read this, you have to sort of weigh yourself up and how you weigh up to this. The Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those that are with him, they are very stern with the disbelievers and very soft with the believers, soft among each other. You see them bowing and prostrating in prayer, seeking just the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his pleasure. They have marks on their faces from their prostration, not sajda marks, but marks of light. You can see light on their faces from all of the prostration they do. Their example is mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil of this seed, that the branches come out, it starts to grow, and then it becomes more and more powerful. It really becomes really robust, and then it's standing firm on its own. And the people who plant the seed, they're in a state of complete and utter astonishment and happiness, and the disbelievers are completely and utterly incensed. And these are the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people who believe and do good actions. The promise is that he will give them forgiveness and a great reward. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us just an iota of what the companions were in terms of these beautiful descriptions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm. the way he has kept many Muslims firm in this current crisis in Gaza. All the definitions of Iman you see, you just think Ahlul Gaza, that's Iman. These are the people of Iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be assistance to the people of faith and allow them to have victory and liberation from the evildoers. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.